have Erin Wasserman, who is also a student member of ICHS, and I'm also happy to say that she is one of our winners of the student paper competition for this section. And actually, her winning paper corresponds to the presentation she's giving today. So Erin is a doctoral candidate in epidemiology and a graduate research assistant in the Department of Emergency Medicine at the University of Rochester School of Medicine and Dentistry. Her research focuses on patient outcomes following sports-related concussions.
All right, thanks everybody for coming here today and sticking out to the end. I just want to take a moment to acknowledge my co-authors, and as Kathleen said, I'm going to be talking about the effect of concussions on batting performance among Major League Baseball players. So I have no relationships to disclose other than I'm a very large Boston Red Sox fan. And David Roth, their catcher, is like the poster boy for baseball concussions. So from previous literature, we know that cognition is impaired following concussion, and this is manifest in many different ways. Subjectively, patients report mental fogginess and feeling slowed down, and objectively, we measure through neuropsychological testing deficits in attention, reaction time, and many other cognitive measures. And we also know that these deficits in cognition last well beyond somatic symptoms, such as headache, disappear. Cognition also impairs balance and ocular functions, such as visual motor speed, eye movement, tracking, things like that. And all of these neurocognitive abilities have been shown to be essential components to hitting in baseball through previous other literature. So what we know about concussions in baseball is that they account for 2.1% of all injuries that result in time lost. So this means that the player misses at least one game. And while this might not seem like a lot, the only time loss injuries that are more prevalent are contusions and strains in Major League Baseball at all body sites. And we also know from the literature that high school and collegiate baseball players, the incidence of concussions is increasing at a rate of approximately 14% per year, at least reported. But despite what we know about the increasing incidence of concussions and what I showed you on the previous slide, the previous studies that have been published about concussions in baseball have only looked at descriptive epidemiology and injury biomechanics. So to address these gaps, we put together a study that would aim to examine the relationship between concussions and batting performance among Major League Baseball players. And we hypothesized two things. First, that Major League Baseball players would be worse upon return to play than they were before their concussion. And also that they would be worse than players who missed time for non-injury reasons. We really wanted to tease apart whether it was the concussion itself or the fact that they were missing time, some kind of called a rust factor. So to do this, we put together a retrospective cohort study, and we looked at two groups, concussions and then non-injury leave. So this was paternity leave and bereavement leave, because we really wanted something that was not an injury that might somehow affect their swing or their something like that. And so we gathered events from 2007 to 2013. On Major League Baseball's website, they have a transaction page in which any official transactions where the player officially leaves the team in a roster spot, that is recorded. So we did a text search for concussion and paternity and bereavement leave. But this only captures players who go on the disabled list for concussion, because that's the only time they actually leave the roster. So we supplemented this through Baseball Prospectus, which is a baseball analysis website. They keep a database of all injuries that happen that result in time loss among Major League Baseball. And this is done through media reports and scouting reports and other mechanisms. So our inclusion criteria were that the event had to occur between 2007 and 2013, and that the player played in the major leagues for at least 2 weeks prior to the event. Our exclusion criteria were that there was a previous event in the same year, so we only included the first event of the year. If the player missed more than 35 days of major league play, he was excluded, and if there were less than 10 plate appearances upon return. And finally, we excluded pitchers as they had a small number of at-bats before and after, if any. So we examined the batting metrics at three separate time periods. The first was the pre-event time period, which is the 2 weeks prior to the event. And the event would be either the concussion itself, going on the disabled list, or leaving the team for your paternity or bereavement purposes. Then we examine the post-leave time period, which is the 2 weeks after the player returned to the sport. And this leave time could be anywhere from some paternity or bereavement leave is 1 or 2 days, up to the 35 days of our exclusion criteria. And our final analysis time point was the long-term post-leave period, which is 4 to 6 weeks following return to play. And we examined 7 different batting metrics, which I have here, batting average, on-base percentage, slugging percentage, on-base plus slugging, and then walk, strikeout, and home run percentage. And the reason that we chose to include these was we thought that they gave a wide range of different types of hitting metrics among baseball players. So for our statistical analysis, we performed descriptive statistics of the sample as well as the batting metrics. We performed generalized linear models comparing conditional means between the two groups. And finally, our main multivariable analysis was a repeated measures generalized linear model comparing the change from pre-event to the post-event time periods. And in this, we control for the number of days that the player missed, as well as position, dichotomous catcher versus non-catcher. So this table here just shows the descriptive characteristics of the events included in our analysis. We had 66 concussions and 68 non-injury leave. And what you'll see here is that I split down year of event by 2007 to 2010 versus 2011 to 2013. And the reason that we did this was because 2011 had some pretty significant changes in Major League Baseball in terms of this analysis. So 2011 was the year that Major League Baseball instituted a new concussion policy. This started with a 7-day disabled list for concussion purposes. Before this, all players who went on the disabled list for concussion had to miss at least 15 days. And also, there were new rules on return to play following concussion, which I'll talk about later. 2011 was also the first year that Major League Baseball offered paternity leave for their players. So you'll see that 35 or 53% of our concussions resulted in the player going on the disabled list. And 34% of our non-injury leave was for paternity purposes. And what you'll see here is that a much higher proportion of catchers were concussion events versus non-injury leave. And this is most likely due to the high-risk nature of catchers, where they're at home plate collisions and at risk of a foul tip hitting their mask. And that's why we controlled for that position in multivariable analyses. And also the mean number of days missed was about 11 for concussions versus about 5 for paternity or bereavement leave, which is why we controlled for that. This table just shows the pre-event batting metrics between the two groups. And what's important to note from this table, the numbers don't really matter other than they're about the same between the two groups. None of these are statistically significantly different from each other, and like you'll see here, the top PA, that's plate appearance, and the concussion group had about 41 plate appearances before their event, and the leave group had also about 41, and they're similar for all the metrics. So this is the conditional post-leave mean batting metrics. And what you'll see here is that for the concussion group, the batting metrics are lower than the leave group in nearly every single category. And they're statistically significantly different in OPS, which is on-base plus slugging. And this is a newer metric that gets at both the player's ability to get on base as well as to hit for power. And to give you an idea, the leave group, they have an average of 750 OPS. And that's about league average. So that's somebody like a Stephen Drew, a Jimmy Rollins, Ian Desmond, if those names mean anything to you. When you get to a batting average of 650, you get to somebody like an Alcides Escobar, who's known for his defensive prowess, or Terry Francona, who's a great manager but not a great player. And then in the long-term post-leave batting metrics, you'll see that the concussion group is slightly lower than the non-injury leave group in every metric, but not really that much so anymore, and it's not statistically significantly different. And just as a reminder, this was the 4 to 6 weeks after returning to play. So you'll see the batting average is about 261 for the concussion group and 269 for the leave group. That's not over a two-week period, that's really not that different. So, but what we were most interested in was this change from pre-event to post-event. So this is the result of the multivariable generalized linear models with the repeated measures. And as a reminder, this is controlling for concussion as well as number of days missed. And what you see is that concussion, the batting metrics decrease in every single category from the pre-event time period to the post-event time period. And for the non-injury leave group, in almost every category, they actually improved. And these differences were statistically significant in the top four batting metric categories. So what I've shown you here today is that concussed Major League Baseball players perform worse after returning from their concussion than they did prior to the concussion, and also that they're performing worse than players who miss time for non-injury reasons. So I want to talk a little bit more about this 2011 Major League Baseball policy in concussions. So the return to play guidelines changed quite significantly. Before this, there were no guidelines on return to play following concussion. And these new policies said that the players must be asymptomatic when they return to play, self-report. They must be back to baseline cognition status as measured by the computerized impact test that's pretty popular. And also that the team physician has to feel that it's safe for the player to get back out on the field. So what we're showing here is that even if they are asymptomatic when they're returning to play, and this computerized test says that they're back to baseline function, there's some kind of residual effect of concussion that might be hurting the complex motor skills that are required for batting. And although our analysis did include 2007 through 2013, so prior to this policy, we included a year in the multivariable analyses and found that it was not a statistically significant predictor of change from pre-event to post-event. And finally, what we believe is that further work is needed to clarify these mechanisms that are causing a concussion to result in poor batting performance. Is it the eye movement? Is it something about the timing? And also, we need to identify better measures for making return to play decisions for these players, because this is indicating that there's still something wrong with them. Thank you. I hope so. Right now it's under review at American Journal of Sports Medicine. So, yeah.
No reporter picked it up here yet?
Well, it's our PR, our University of Rochester's PR is pushing it right now. So I heard Reuters might be picking it up, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. So was it your depth of knowledge of baseball area that led you to know those things existed?
Yeah, I'm pretty much a huge baseball statistics nerd. My husband and I create predictive models for our fantasy draft, so.
So you guys have the same fan?
Yes. Yes, yes. He was extremely influential in determining some of the interpretations of the different outcome measures, yeah.
Is he the same Dan that works in sports?
No,
okay.
No. Yeah, I think it definitely could be, especially from the anecdotal reports of these players who are reaching out for concussion awareness, the saying that they're a little afraid to get back into play. I'm not so sure that they would be about hitting, because the risk of getting hit in the head is pretty low, though it does happen. I think it's more, they say that they're more tentative out on the field you know, maybe when they're running or catchers especially, you know. Yeah.
Make money on these
results? That I do not know.
Put it into the models of who's going to win games.
Yeah.
You don't have to answer this question.
Yeah, I don't know.
I do have a real question. I find it interesting that the players that get to go out on bereavement or family leave actually come back better players.
Yeah.
And that, it feels like an interesting policy implication.
Yeah.
Time's up. But is any of that information going to get disseminated, and do you think MLB would be interested in it?
I haven't really thought about that, but it is an interesting thought. It's all part of the paper, so it depends on what people pick up, but that is I never really thought about that part of it, so.
Yeah, you have this positive finding.
Right.
Or it wasn't one of your primary questions.
Right.
I find that really interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have some time left, 10 minutes, and we can have all our presenters come up, or we can just sit and have open dialogue if anyone has more questions for the earlier presenters or for Aaron. And we should clap for him.